Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I am so excited that Larry Fitzgerald is returning for another year in the NFL for a couple of reasons. Number one, he's one of the best ambassadors the league could ask for. Walter Payton, Man of the Year winner. He's a guy that continues to make an impact at his position and obviously climbing up the record charts and carving out an even greater niche in history is awesome too. But he's such a steadying force for the young quarterbacks that they've had there in Arizona the last couple of years. So that's one reason, because I think he does such an amazing job and because the Cardinals desperately need him. But also because I don't want him to retire on two consecutive years in which they've been awful because they're in this rebuilding stage. And part of that is the young quarterbacks. Now, Kyler Murray showed great strides, and I think the Cardinals could be a sleeper moving forward. They have different positions to address, but Kyler was awesome, and he and Cliff Kingsbury are they're good for each other coming in at the ground level. Before that, it was Josh Rosen and just, oh my gosh, I forgot about Sam Bradford at the beginning of last year. And so it would suck if the way that Larry Fitzgerald's Hall of Fame career ended was with back-to-back years of frustration and futility. I would hate that. And so I'm glad he's going to play again, and I do believe there could be something to play for. Now, the NFC West is, it's a gauntlet. I mean, think about it. The Seahawks, the Niners, they battled all the way through for the top seed in the NFC. It's a really tough division. It's gone through a bit of a transition, but now here it is. The Rams are only 1 year removed from the Super Bowl. You would expect them to get better. The Cardinals are going to have to fight and scratch and claw, but they did make life difficult for the other members of the West, and they battled hard. So I think the future is bright. And I'm glad Fitzgerald will be a part of it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. So get yours with Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. We'll get back to your phone calls here momentarily. But while I mentioned the Hall of Fame, it was really cool to hear Bill Cowher on the Jim Rome show here on CBS Sports Radio on Wednesday, because you remember he got the early news, the early end surprise news that he was going to be a member of the class of 2020 when he was on the CBS football set on Saturday. And his wife was there and his daughter, and David Baker walks out and the rest of the guys didn't know. So it was a really cool and authentic reaction from all of them. And of course, Cowher gets very teared up, and it's neat to hear him talk about now, like, wow, I'm in the Hall of Fame.
Every day you wake up, it resonates a little bit more, to be honest with you, Romy. It really does. And it's a pretty special award. It's very humbling, and when you sit back and think about the people that you're going to be in there with, it's a very, very unique award.
We know for sure that one of the other contemporaries will be Jimmy Johnson, who was also surprised by the news on the Fox set, and that was on Sunday. And gosh, I definitely teared up over Bill Cowher and got very emotional as he got emotional, but I flat out cried with Jimmy Johnson. And it wasn't so much Jimmy, though he got so choked up he could barely speak. It was watching Troy Aikman watch Jimmy Johnson and seeing Troy Aikman cry over this incredible honor for his former Dallas Cowboys coach that really did me in. But gosh, I normally say I don't like surprises, but I love those surprises. Those surprises that we got to see play out on live TV, absolutely amazing. So that's really neat. Cowher is a guy that I would have loved to see coach again after he left the Steelers. It didn't happen. He's fantastic on TV. He's obviously very well respected. Now we're going to attach Hall of Fame to his name. And, you know, he had some health challenges in their family. His wife went through cancer treatments. He wanted to watch his daughter. I think she played volleyball in college. He wanted to watch his daughter play volleyball. And let's be honest, the TV schedule is a lot less taxing than is the head coaching schedule in the NFL, and a lot less stressful. But certainly I miss seeing him on the sidelines, and no doubt he misses parts of being a head coach in the NFL.
It does sit back and make you reflect on all the relationships that you've had through the years. And when people can take joy in seeing something happen to you, it just makes you feel very special, very humbled that, you know, you have a part in someone's life that they're able to share that moment with you.
That's awesome. And he's right. How many people took joy and smiled or teared up, got emotional watching Bill Cowher receive this great honor? If you want to hear the rest of that conversation with Coach Cowher, you can check out our CBS Sports Radio website, cbsportsradio.com, and look for the Jim Rome page. And the podcast, that interview would be podcasted for you in all of its glory. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Now, later this hour, we'll get to our QB news in preparation for championship weekend. But I know some of you want to weigh in on the Rooney Rule. 855-212-4227. Earl is listening in Wisconsin. Welcome to After Hours.
Hello. Good morning, Amy.
Hi, Earl.
Hi, pleasure to finally be able to speak to you.
Thank you.
As far as the black coaches go, sometimes you're damned if you do and damned if you don't. I remember when the Packers, back in 99, hired Ray Rhodes to replace Mike Holmgren. Okay, he was there one season, he did a lousy job, and he was terminated. And as soon as he was terminated, Jesse Jackson came out and accused the Packer organization of being racist for firing them. And I thought, wait a minute, back to Chuck up here a minute. If they were racist, they never would have hired them to begin with. And I thought, well, you're saying this not even realizing that Reggie McKenzie was in the Packers front office, and he left to go to the Seattle Seahawks, and he did well there. So how can you accuse the Packers of being racist if they've had people in their front office that were, you know, black?
Yeah, I gotcha. I mean, I feel like that's kind of an opportunistic moment. And honestly, if organizations like the Packers or any other are going to be so sensitive to that type of criticism, they're probably in the wrong business. I mean, as someone who only does radio for a living, I get accused of all kinds of things that are not accurate. And so some of those things you just have to ignore. I don't feel like that should be a reason why there are never opportunities extended to minority candidates, is because the organization's worried about getting accused of being racist if they don't hire the candidate, or if they then fire the candidate. Lots of white people get fired too. I mean, that's the NFL. It's not for long. It stands, it's, you know, that cliche for a reason. And so I understand what you're saying, and with a heightened focus on it, you know, you maybe would think about that. But still, I mean, if you're always going to be subjected and making decisions based on criticism, then you're in the wrong business.
Yeah, well, I didn't think it was specified with the Packers. I just, you know, because, I mean, they did give him a chance, but he just did a lousy job that one season.
Yeah, well, they fired other white coaches too. So, yeah, I mean, it's the business. It's, yeah, I understand. Again, I understand your point, but it doesn't mean you should not ever try.
Well, exactly. And they gave him a chance. I mean, yeah, and I'm sure maybe someday another black coach may come along for the Packers. But, you know, we don't know. You know, it's just a matter of when's the best opportunity. You know?
I gotcha. Earl, thanks so much for your phone call. I appreciate it. I got this tweet from Eric, which is kind of along a similar tack. He says, not the hiring part that is the problem. It's the part where if it doesn't work out and you fire a minority, the backlash and being labeled a racist for it is where it begins. Who wants to invite that into their world? Eric, I mean, I don't recall the last time a team was accused of being racist. I mean, now, we just had this caller from Wisconsin. I don't happen to remember that personally. But white coaches get fired, too. So it's not racist to fire a coach who isn't getting the job done or who isn't meeting expectations or for any other reason who isn't the right fit. I mean, we've seen coaches fired after they've won double-digit games. I mean, it's sports. We saw Joe Girardi get fired in New York after taking the Yankees within one game of the World Series. So that's not a good excuse for not considering minority coaches because you're worried about whether or not you'll be labeled a racist if it doesn't work out and you fire them. No, I mean, you should only worry about being labeled a racist if you are a racist. If you're not a racist, well, then you don't have the track record that would play that out, that would indicate that you are. So, yeah, I mean, maybe it's because I've got to this point in my career and I'm so used to being criticized and falsely accused of stuff. But some of this stuff you just have to let roll off your back. And as a NFL team and NFL owner, you're certainly going to be criticized at every turn. You're going to be called all kinds of names, and that's just part of the business. Let's talk to Patrick, who's in Pittsburgh. Welcome to After Hours.
Yes, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
I'm calling because I think they need to take a hard look at the statistics of who is actually applying for the coordinator jobs, because it's okay to bring a minority in to interview for the head coaching job. But like you said, it's sort of like the things with judges, how they say they need more black judges or black congressmen. If there's people not actually applying for the jobs, it's kind of harder to pick.
Agreed. And that's something that, again, it's really difficult to mandate because you have to have candidates to choose from for the most part. I mean, every now and then we get a college coach who makes the jump to NFL, but it doesn't happen very often. For the most part, head coaching candidates come from inside the league. They come from coordinator positions very often, or they come from, you know, positions like depending on which way the wind blows, whether or not it's offense or defense, it's the flavor of the day. They may come from, say, a QB coach or a defensive line coach. Or I don't remember, Brian Flores wasn't the defensive coordinator with the Patriots, right? But he was calling defensive plays, I think. I don't remember exactly what his title was when he was hired by the Dolphins. Either way, I agree with you. Maybe the Rooney Rule shouldn't be about head coaches. Maybe it should be about some of the other coordinator positions because there are more of those. And if there are minority candidates who want to be in coordinator positions, then that maybe should be where the focus is.
Or trying to find ways to attract minority coordinator, because it's like, you know, they might get the opinion that even if I apply, I'm not going to get it. So they don't even try to become coordinators and stuff like that.
I mean, there are some, obviously, and we've mentioned a couple who've gone through the interviewing process. This just popped into my brain, and I might not state this eloquently, but I know the NFL does programs for women. They do immersion programs for women to try to prepare women for potential jobs in the NFL. And I'm not just talking about coaching, though we do have a couple who are coaches. But they do programs where they try to work with female referees, officials who want to break into the NFL. They do programs where they work with women who could potentially be executives for teams or executives, maybe attorneys, whatever it is, inside the league itself. So they do these different programs where they try to prepare women to be in positions in the NFL where they are impactful and influential. And because they want to have more women, they're grooming them. They want to have more women be working in the league. And so maybe it's something like that. Maybe it's something where they're giving opportunities to minority candidates, maybe to training, coaching. I'm not really sure how you do it. Like if you're interested in becoming a coach or becoming a coordinator, maybe you're a college coach and you're interested in making the jump to the NFL. Maybe there's, some extra training or some workshops, things like that to kind of help out. I mean, it's maybe like a, job fair. You know, like to have those at college. That's not exactly what I mean. But, you know, somehow to try to open those doors where there are other ways that these potential coaches and coordinators could get interviews or could get noticed.
Yeah, I think they do need to, like, look into programs like that, because there's not even that many minority defensive or offensive coordinators. Most of them are like running back coaches or linebacker coaches and like that.
Although those very often do turn into coordinators, though. I mean, that's kind of the pipeline that I'm talking about, is that we need more candidates who then are getting noticed for head coaching jobs. So, and it's a slow process, right? I mean, it could take years and years sometimes before it before you have a particular candidate who's ready to become a head coach. Patrick, thanks so much for your phone call in Pittsburgh. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's our toll-free line. You can also find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Thanks so much for joining us. We are kind of in this no man's land, right? We don't have any football games until Sunday. Imagine what it's going to be like when we get to, oh no, it's the dead period. I hate the 2-week period in between Championship Sunday and the Super Bowl. I can't stand it. There's way too much time to pretend like we're previewing the big game. I refuse to watch any of the pregame stuff. I can't stand it. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Did my research, spent a lot of time talking to a lot of people, a lot of coaches, and one thing that came across were certain words. And these words were integrity, honesty, knowledge, grit, determination. It's all about winning. Ron Rivera knows how to win as a player, as a coach, as a new head coach of the Redskins.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I will not name any names, but I was listening to a sports radio show in which they were questioning why the Washington Redskins did not have to follow the Rooney Rule. Wait, you guys don't get it? Oh, you do get it? Okay. Neither one of my guys just like batted an eye or anything, so...
Not surprised that someone in sports talk radio might not get that.
Right. So if you don't know, Ron Rivera is in fact Latino. He's Hispanic. So that is a minority. But I was stunned as I'm driving down the road listening to this thinking, come on, really? Oh my gosh. Anyway, Daniel Snyder, not only hiring a minority, but hiring a fantastic coach who has got a track record, who is known for his relationships with the players, being a player's coach, someone who has a high standard, who has a disciplined group of guys, certainly one who's going to hold them accountable and going to bring in a completely different foundation and culture to the Redskins. And yes, he is one of the four minority coaches, head coaches right now in the NFL. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. Let's talk to Bill, who's in Virginia. Welcome to After Hours.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
This Rooney Rule thing that I think that goes on, I think it's a good thing. But it also, in my opinion, I think it needs to be spread out throughout, not just as a head coach, but coaches throughout the ranks, and not only, if you think about it, not only just in the professional ranks, the college ranks as well. Because if you're going to put it out there for all of coaching, not just one particular position in one particular sport. That's just my opinion.
I certainly agree that that would lend itself to more qualified candidates of any color, right? So if we're talking about the Rooney Rule specifically, though, extending it to other areas, to other levels of coaching, to me, that only makes sense. Because if you don't have enough qualified candidates, then it doesn't matter anyway. And so I agree with that. I'm just not sure. I'm not sure how they can mandate it. So does that mean every head coach has to interview minorities before he selects his coordinators? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I think that if you're gonna interview somebody for the head coach position, if they don't particularly fit in your head coach position, find another, you know, at least show them that there may be an interest in them within the organization in another position to work your way up into
right.
the head coach position. Because if you don't give anybody a chance, how are you going to find out, one, if they're even qualified to do the job? I don't think anybody should be qualified or to be hired just because of where they come from.
Agreed.
As far as the race, but as an experience and as they present themselves as an individual.
I would agree with that wholeheartedly. And the Rooney Rule does include general manager and other front office positions like president of football operations. But to the best of my knowledge, I don't believe it extends to any other coaching positions outside of the head coach. But then it behooves the head coaches in the NFL, not that they're mandated or that they should, but it behooves them to then be giving equal opportunities, but also potentially to be looking for candidates among minorities. But again, how do you mandate that? How do you tell a head coach in the NFL whose job is always tenuous at best, who comes with very little job security, that you have to be interviewing coaches or potentially that you should be looking at candidates among minorities, even if you don't believe they're the most qualified? So that's the part that's hard. I mean, it's such a competitive business that you can't tell a team or a coach to hire someone that's not someone he believes is most qualified or someone that he trusts or someone that he knows. And so, yeah, it's hard. It's hard to figure out how to mandate it fairly and equitably to everyone.
Correct. I agree with you 100%.
All right, Bill, good to talk to you. Thanks so much for your phone call.
Good to talk to you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Yes, the Rooney Rule does also include GM searches and other front office positions. So they have extended the Rooney Rule to management. But how do you then expand it to include some of the lower level, maybe even entry level positions? I don't know if that's what the diversity committee will consider. But to me, that seems to be the major issue. Now, there are some coordinators that I've talked about who've gotten head coaching interviews and you would think would soon or at some point in the next couple of years would continue to be top candidates and would eventually get jobs. I mean, Kevin Stefanski happens to be white, but you know, he's done a bunch of interviews in the past and he got passed over for jobs in the past and now finally has an opportunity. So that happens to white coaches and to minority coaches. The NFL is extremely competitive, and there's something else I should point out. The NFL, because it's a relatively small fraternity and because there isn't a whole lot of job security and because you may only get a couple shots at it, if at all, you a lot of times hire your friends. You hire the people that you were with in previous jobs because you trust them or you believe in them because you're familiar with them, especially when you have to hit the ground running. And so again, it's a difficult dilemma to find the perfect solution to. Eddie says on Twitter, an African-American man has to be nearly perfect to get an interview, but coaches like Cliff Kingsbury get hired with a losing record unquestioned. Well, I'm not going to dismiss this tweet out of hand. That's your opinion. I appreciate you sharing it with me. Cliff Kingsbury was hired for a specific reason, and he did have coaching experience, but his was about the offensive side of the football and the connection that he had with the Arizona Cardinals. So he'd already had a connection there. And again, it's a lot of times it's about who you know. That's every business. It's not just the NFL. I mean, I couldn't even tell you the number of times that I've seen that happen in my business where someone gets hired for a gig that they don't have a lot of experience for simply because they know the boss or because their dad worked with the boss or something like that. As someone who works as a very small minority in a business of sports radio where there are very few women who do what I do, I understand the point that Eddie is making about how minorities often have to be better at their jobs to get noticed. I've been told that my entire career. You can't afford to make mistakes. You have to be better than the guys, because if you make a mistake, it damages your credibility. if a guy makes a mistake, a lot of fans will dismiss it out of hand as, oh yeah, you know, he meant to say that. And I've certainly dealt with that during my career. I mean, it's impossible not to make mistakes, so I just apologize for them and move on. But I do feel the pressure very often to be better than my male counterparts because some people still aren't sure women should be doing what I do. So I understand that. But I think in football, honestly, and I won't say all, most owners, general managers, coaches, coordinators, on down the line, they don't have time to be racist about their hires. So they want the best because they want to win. And I'm not saying none of them are racist. But my point is, if there are more minority candidates who are qualified, I think you would see then more head coaches. And this number will fluctuate, right? So 2 years ago, there were, what did we say, seven minority head coaches? Oh, no, eight, sorry. There were seven African-American and one Latino. And now that number's in half. Well, it's because there's turnover all the time in the NFL. So to me, really, the issue is not having enough coordinators and coaches who are decision makers who are coming through the pipeline to then be candidates for head coaches. To me, that's the major issue. And I don't know that the Rooney Rule has anything to do with that or could solve that. Thanks so much for all of your input, though. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and also on our Facebook page. So these conversations that we're having, these are the ones that the NFL is having as well, because there isn't a right answer.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Proud of this team. I just told him I'm thankful to be the head coach of this team, this organization. I'm proud of that group.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Brian Flores, head coach of the Miami Dolphins, came from the Bill Belichick coaching tree and certainly had his work cut out for him, but obviously remaining the head coach moving forward into the next year. And I was really impressed with, despite the fact that he was the bad cop at the beginning, making the trades that he did to ship out guys like Laremy Tunsil and Kenny Stills, and they're trying to stockpile draft picks and everything else, certainly some of the moves were unpopular. But the team continued to play hard for them, for him. And part of that is the leadership. Do not underestimate Ryan Fitzpatrick as a leader. He's the wrong guy to bring in if you want your team to tank. And so it definitely has to come from the guys inside the locker room. But it also helps when you have a leader like Brian Flores that is consistent and preaches the same thing and is tough and hard-nosed and doesn't allow for excuses. And so I'm anxious to see what they build in Miami. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Let's go back to our phones. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Gerald is in Pittsburgh. Welcome to After Hours.
Hi, Amy. My name is Gerald again, and I'm from Pittsburgh, and I'm a truck driver, and I listen to CBS Radio every night.
Woo!
And there's been some very interesting points and views. And I just want to put my little view in there. I believe that the head coaching job, coordinator job, assistants, linebacker coach, wide receiver position, whatever coaching position with the team will evolve to where you will have more minorities coaching in those positions as it evolves. If I can remember a day when the black quarterbacks was a controversy where there wasn't enough black quarterbacks, and I felt that they weren't talented enough. There wasn't enough candidates that would qualify to be quarterbacks. As you see today, we have consistency in college and in the NFL with minority quarterbacks who are top-notch quarterbacks and athletes that can compete at a high level And that evolved, same as the head coaching positions, and the positions under head coaches will evolve as well. That's my opinion.
Yeah, yes, I agree. But how do you facilitate that?
You give them the opportunities. As the NFL evolved, is giving the quarterbacks the opportunities. They changed. The NFL changed to the point where we weren't considered. I can go back. Tony Dungy came from the University of Minnesota, was a quarterback. Went to Pittsburgh, became a defensive back because of the fact that the NFL wasn't ready yet to have black quarterbacks. And they evolved to that. And even though we have professional, Tony Dungy as well, Mike Tomlin, very successful head coaches in the NFL, they started out as coordinator positions and evolved to the point where the NFL knew that they were great at what they did and made them head coaches.
Right. No, I agree. I agree with all of that, Gerald. My point is, or my question is, how do you facilitate moving the process along? So I'm asking you what your solution is.
Well, I believe that, which another caller stated earlier, that we should have more programs. The same way with women, more programs and training and education for everyone so that they can evolve into those positions and make them the best, not make them, but accept them as the best qualified candidates, regardless if you're black, white, or female, across the board. As we change the way that we think about black women as head coaches, certain jobs, even in the society. There shouldn't be a quota, well, just because I'm an African-American, I should get an interview for, say, a job as a police officer.
So you would get rid of the Rooney Rule then?
I would.
Okay.
I would.
All right.
I would educate the NFL on being more open because
the NFL's trying. I mean, Gerald, it's not a lack of education. It's a problem about how do you try to facilitate, and that's what we're talking about. The NFL certainly recognizes that they have people. They have a diversity in the workplace committee. I mean, they recognize that they want to have more African Americans in positions of power, more minorities, not just African Americans. So they recognize that there is a disparity between decision makers and the percentage of players who are minorities. And so they're trying. I don't think it's that they don't recognize they have a problem. They're just not exactly sure how to facilitate the changes. Thanks so much for your phone call. Let's talk to Kevin, who's in San Francisco. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, Amy. How are you doing?
Great. Thank you.
Good, good. It's first time calling. I listen to you all the time. Talking about the Rooney Rule, I think the biggest problem that we're having here is there's a tiger, elephant, a giraffe in the room that is not being mentioned ever. It's a similar thing to, the good old boy situation. He's nice, but he's not good enough for my daughter. You see where I'm going here?
No.
Amy?
Well, I don't see that analogy. No, I don't get that one.
Oh, okay, well, okay, fine. Let's not believe the analogy, and I understand that. But to the point, there's been callers saying, well, they don't want to try because then people who get fired for not doing a good job is what basically was stated, will then be said, the organization will be said that they are to be racist because of the firing, and they don't want to go through that issue. But the reality of it is that if you don't get the opportunities aren't given in an abundance, then the reality of it is that you're never going to have that issue. You're never going to be able to actually use that as the issue, as the, I'm fumbling my words here. You're never going to be able to use that as the reason because there's not, the opportunities aren't there. The candidates are there, but they're not giving those candidates opportunities for whatever reason that they feel is not good enough. And that's more of the real reason here we're talking about.
The reason being the opportunities are not there.
Well, no. In terms of the opportunities not being there, and what I mean by that is the opportunities are there. The positions are there. The coaches are there. But the opportunities being given aren't. And the reason that they're not given are more of the, well, they're good, but not good enough for my organization. They're good, but they're not, they haven't gone through the coaching rings yet. They're good.
Well, how do you know all this? I mean, are you talking about specific?
I mean, you can look at the,
you're talking about a specific situation?
We could go to the Kansas City. We can go to the Kansas City offensive coordinator. How many times have you been passed over?
I'm not exactly sure how many times, but are you saying it's because it's racism?
Well, see, racism is definitely rampant through the NFL, is that people don't want to just blatantly call it as that. I mean,
Kevin, just out of curiosity, is it possible that maybe the opportunities that he interviewed for weren't the right fit, or that at the time he didn't interview well? Now, I'm not saying that's the case with Eric Bieniemy. In fact, he was one of my top candidates. But I mean, if you're looking at the jobs that were open, he interviewed with the Cleveland Browns. They ended up going with a guy that they nearly hired a year ago. So it's hard to look at it in a vacuum. There are a lot of other factors at play as well. Now, I hope that he gets a job. In fact, like I said, he was one of my top candidates because I think he has done really well with Andy Reid, and I like the Andy Reid coaching tree. But I feel like it's unfair to just brand that as racism when you weren't privy to the interviews and you don't know why he wasn't hired.
Very, very true. You are correct. Not privy to the interview. I have no way of knowing what occurred at that period of time. But we can go track record of quarterbacks. We can go track record of running backs. We can go track record of all those different things. I could point out, Terrell Owens and his troubles, and then with the guy from Philadelphia who used the derogatory term at the concert, but yet got another job?
Yeah, the tight end, or is it wide receiver?
No, the wide receiver. You know, what I'm saying
Riley Cooper.
Riley Cooper. But what I'm basically trying to state here is that you can play position by position. We can go Bosa. I'm born and raised here in the Bay Area. In the Bay Area, a lot of folks weren't too high on Bosa because of his tweets and all those different things and whatnot, whatever. But what ended up happening out here is that winning cures all. He came and played well.
Of course.
And then all of a sudden it was like, well, I mean, he was young and those different things.
Oh, come on. The same things were said about Odell Beckham Jr., Kevin. The same things were said about Odell. I mean, that we get that line a lot about athletes who screw up and do really stupid stuff when they're younger, is that, oh, they're, you know, they've got gone to their head. They're not used to the fame. They don't know how to handle it. They're younger. They've got some growing up to do. They're immature. We hear that about people of all colors. My God, I've worked in this business 20 years. Let me just tell you how many times I've heard that when someone screwed up. I have to let you go because we're at the top of the hour, but thank you so much for your phone call. Oh, I'm sorry. Seriously, we're going to hear the music here in 5 seconds, so I had to let you go. He said, I love you, but. There was a butt coming. I am trying to see it from all sides of the coin. And I will continue to come back to there's no easy way to fix it. And there's probably a lot of people who don't think it needs to be fixed. I would disagree with that. I think that they need to continue to work and address it. But I just don't know that it's an easy thing to do. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.